revival of our emotions. We've talked about what is revival, and then we've talked about revival of the heart. That was a two-parter, and revival of our spirit. We talked about courage, right? And so today we're going to talk about emotions. And you think, well, why would you want your emotions revived? They can go crazy. Well, the angle that I'm going today, I pray, will really help you and encourage you to not only enjoy your emotions, but manage them, okay? Let me tell you a story. I was traveling with some of my friends to band practice. Actually, we were going to a one-heart practice, okay? And I was sitting in the back seat. I let Nettie, if you know our bass player, she was sitting in the front seat. And I started to get motion sickness. And I get it. I've had it since I was a little girl, all right? I don't know if you know this about me. But when I travel in the back seat, especially in certain vehicles, I can just get motion sickness. And I remember being a little girl, I would be afraid to go on long trips with my family because knowing I would get motion sickness. And I would tell my family, you know, I'm sick. I think they always thought I was making it up or something. But I have a sensitive tummy. I don't know what I have. But so anyway, we were traveling on this band to a band practice, and I started getting sick to my stomach. And shortly after traveling, and within a few minutes, I needed to have the windows open and the heater turned off, and I thought I was going to throw up. Finally, we arrived at our destination, and I ran into the bathroom as I felt like it, but thank God it didn't happen. Okay? So, motion sickness. And it's been something that I can prepare my body for, you know, ahead of time. If I can sit in the front seat, or if I can at least see the windshield, you know, the looking out the door, out the window, the windshield, there we go. I do better, okay? And I remember one time I was speaking at a women's conference in Oregon, and Sherry Millsap was with me, and we were riding in a Durango. Those aren't good vehicles for me either in the back seat, let me tell you. And so we were riding in a Durango, and I was sitting right behind the driver. And, you know, we were going along the Oregon coast, and it is kind of windy roads. So, and I started to experience it. But not only me, Sherry did too. And so we were both having problems. And so we had made mention out loud, well, our host, the wife of the driver, she goes, I have the very thing for you. I got the best thing for you. So they went back to their house. We had no clue what it was, okay? All we know is we're just like going, okay. And she came out with a wad of Tootsie Roll Pops. And Sherry and I just kind of looked at each other, what? And then we're like, we didn't want to offend her, but I'm thinking sucking on something's just not going to help the stomach right now. But out of, you know, courtesy and not wanting to offend them, because she went out of her way to go get these Tootsie Roll Pops, we each took one and we started sucking on them. Now, I'm telling you, the Tootsie Roll Pops didn't fix my motion sickness, but it gave something for my mouth to do, right? Instead of complaining or whatever it might be. But being sick to our stomach is not a fun thing. It's not a fun feeling. It pretty much takes away any strength we may have for the day. And sometimes being sick to our stomach can overtake us and stifle any activity we may want to do. You ever just had like a stomach ache or the flu and you just can't, you're done, right? You need to lay down. It really does overtake your entire life and activity. Thinking about motion sickness and how it affects our lives makes me think about emotions and how they affect our lives. We can get emotional sickness if we are not careful. Emotional sickness is allowing our emotions to take over our practical thought life. And just like having motion sickness, it just kind of took over my that's all I could think about. I just wanted the windows down. Actually, I wanted the vehicle to stop, and I wanted to go walk along the beach because we were driving along this beautiful Oregon beach. Okay? And that's what I wanted to do, and eventually we ended up doing that a few times. But emotional sickness can totally take over our thought life, our just the things that we do, how we decide, make decisions, just all the above. And I want to tell you this. Men and women have emotions. Men have just as much emotions as women do. They just show it differently. Okay? Living in any kind of sickness far too long takes a toll on our bodies. And just like physical manifestations that take place when we are sick, we can experience physical and spiritual manifestations when we are emotionally sick. Emotional sickness can manifest in so many different ways. Here's some examples, okay? Do you find you are always asking for forgiveness because of hurting people's feelings? How about isolating yourself because you think no one likes or loves you? Emotional sickness. Do you get mad easily over things that really are insignificant? Are people stepping back from you and giving you a wide berth at times? Do you always think about yourself and how things affect you? These all can be signs of emotional sickness. And there could be so many more, right? So, how do we deal with emotional sickness? And Pastor Chris, we're talking about revival of our emotions. Why are you doing emotional sickness? Well, I tell you what, our emotions can get us so wrapped up in ourselves and junk that we are not good for anybody else, and we don't experience truly what God wants us to experience in life. It can blind us from the move of God. Mm-hmm. I know it sure does in my life. I can go to a conference, and if I'm totally absorbed with something that's going on with me, all about me, it's hard for me to really participate in what is going on in that conference. You ever been been there? No, just you. Okay. So, emotional sickness. How do we deal with emotional sickness? So we need to, number one, so how do we deal with emotional sickness? Number one, we need to learn to cry out all our frustrations to God. God's big. He can handle anything you throw at him, right? I remember one time in my life, I was just telling you how sometimes I can get so emotional before the Lord starts showing me some of these things that I'm going to share with you today. I'd go into my bedroom and take a broom and just whip that bed to try to get the emotions that I was experiencing out of me. You know, whatever. I guess it would be better than hitting somebody, correct? Or taking it out on somebody. But we have to remember that God is bigger than anything we are going through. And God is big enough to vent or cry out our frustrations. And you know what? This is very healthy. It's extremely healthy. There's been times when I wanted to say something or I wanted to vent out something and I knew it wasn't the right thing to do. And sometimes we just have to walk away. I would find something that I can just scream into or, you know. Okay, I know. You're finding, man, Pastor Chris is really weird. David cried out to God many times about what was going on in his life. Okay, here are just a few verses expressing his cries. Number one, or here's Psalms 3, 1 and 2. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. And he's just pouring his heart out to God. Lord, how they've increased. He's going through all this junk. Even his own son, Absalom, was trying to kill him, right? He's running into a cave. He's trying to hide. If you know David's story, he was destined to be king. But he had all of this attack from within and from without. Even King Saul wanted him dead, didn't he? Okay? And so David learned how to cry out his frustration to God. Here's another one. Psalms 4, 2 and 3 says, can you see that? I hope you can see that. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Because he is our Father who hears, doesn't he? Yeah? He already knows your frustration. But something happens when you cry out to him. all of a sudden you are aware of your need, right? And it just, the heart of God comes and runs to us and ministers to us. That's what I love about him. Here's Psalms 5, 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Something happens too when we say things out loud. Especially in this situation, it's really positive what he's saying in the middle of his frustration. He's saying, I'm going to look up to you, God. I'm going to cry out to you. I don't understand what's going on in my life, but you do. And I just need you. In the middle of this junk, in the middle of this storm, I'm crying out to you, God. And then the trust factor. It just seems like, I vented. And you could just trust in God, knowing that he heard. Sometimes he doesn't calm you in the middle of the storm, right? Sometimes he doesn't calm the storm. Oftentimes he calms you in the middle of the storm. Right. And that's actually better. Okay, Psalm 6, 1 through 7. I'll read it to you here. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. For my bones are troubled, my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, Lord. Deliver me. Oh, save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all of my enemies. Now, you can't tell me this wasn't penned by a man who was having a huge huge struggle in his life. And you could hear his emotion as he's saying where he's at with God. I guess that's why I love David too, because not only is a man after God's own heart, and that whole thought could preach, I'm just telling you, a man after God's own heart. Okay. But he's also a man who was quick to cry out to God. Now, we always see women cry, but a man stands tall in my eyes when I see him crying. And it's all about God. That he stands tall, okay? David cried out to God often and found comfort in doing so. Another example is Moses. He cried out to God often and even changed the Lord's mind. Moses cried out to God concerning the plagues in Egypt. And so this is pretty long, it's not too long. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. But then Moses, it's Exodus 8, 12 through 13. Exodus 8, 12 through 13. And it says, then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. He turned God's heart, stopped the plague, cried out to him. Here's another one, Exodus 17, 3 and 4. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And you know what? I can almost hear him say, this is your people. You're the one that told me to be the leader of these people. I can almost hear it, right? So he's calling out to the one who placed him in leadership. He's calling out to his maker, and he says, what should I do with these people? They're getting ready to stone me. They're getting ready to kill me. And Moses was not afraid what was on his mind. He shared it to God. Okay, Exodus 32, 7 through 14 says, and the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it. And said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt, And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and have indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And what did Moses do? Then Moses pleaded with the Lord. He said, the Lord is God, and he said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Can you imagine? Turn from your fierce wrath, God. He's crying out to him. And relent from his harm. And relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Learn to cry out your frustrations to God. Sometimes God won't change his mind over something, oftentimes. But sometimes he's just waiting to see what you're made of. I mean, he knows, but we start realizing, and we cry out to him. And in that desperateness, God hears our cry and answers. So cry out to the Lord. Number two, how to deal with our emotions is learn to manage your emotions. We've heard this said so many times. Now, being a female, I'm telling you what, sometimes I get tired of hearing this. I'm like, you might as well take me now because I'm just one emotional person, all right? So, okay, when we are feeling a strong emotion, especially if it is anger or fear, we need to learn how to manage it. And like I said earlier, emotions are not good or bad, they just are. God created us as emotional beings, so try and control our emotions or totally get rid of them sometimes is impossible, because we always have these emotions. That's how we were created. It just won't happen, but if we learn to manage them, we will have a better life. We need to learn to vent our emotions properly, be it male or female. When something bothers you, when something doesn't go your way, how do you react? Do you get mad? Do you get angry? Do you cry? Do you get frustrated? Do you want to quit? I mean, here's some things. These are just normal ideas or thoughts that our emotions bring us to, right? Don't be easy affected by your emotions. If you are in the middle of a situation and need to make a decision, allow time to think before you act. If you make a decision, allow more time to pass and see if that decision settles in your spirit. All right? These are just ways of how to make a decision, not in the middle of the heat of your emotion. If you are uneasy still about it, chances are it is the wrong decision. If it settles in your spirit and you have prayed about it and sense God's peace, then walk in that decision. It's pretty simple. How do you make decisions? What should I do? Where should I go? Should I apply for this job? Should I take this job? Should I go speak to this person? Should I buy this thing? You know, all of those things are things that we can bring to God and pray about. And then when you feel his peace of what to do, do it. If you don't feel peace, wait. There's nothing wrong with waiting 24 hours, especially on a major decision. There's nothing wrong. And most of the time, when, like a salesperson, well, if you don't do it today, this whole deal is going to be gone.
Well, too bad for them.
That is telling you, that's a telltale sign that it's not supposed to happen. It really, if you feel pressured to make this decision in such a way, then that, how do I word this? Either you feel yucky inside, or I say it's a telltale sign it's the enemy. Seriously. Because God doesn't do that, does he?
Andy, you better go ahead and do this. You better give your life to me right now. Does God do that?
I'll let me know you're giving. Right. But that's not how God works. He comes up and he woos us and he loves us and he draws us to him. Is there security in anger? In other words, if God was an angry God and he came to us and made us happen and put us under his thumb, do you feel safe? Mm-mm. Seriously, you don't feel safe. Any kind of relationship, if you feel unsafe, or if you feel like they don't listen to you, or if you feel they're just have their own agenda and they don't care about me, any of those things brings insecurity, right? You just don't feel safe. But in a relationship, think of the person in your life that you really feel safe with. Why do you feel safe? You don't have to yell it, but just think about it. Probably you feel safe because they have said things, they have done things, they have loved you, they've accepted you just the way they are, the way that you are, right? That's what God does. So the opposite of that is rejection, anger, make this decision right now, boom, boom, boom. You have to before the time is up, right? Okay. So these are ways in my life that God's shown me to help me make good decisions, okay? We are all human and we all have emotions. Men and women alike have the same emotions. Both men and women experience emotional pain and frustration. And it's how we handle our emotions that seem to separate men from women. As a rule, women have a tendency to vent their emotions outwardly and men keep them inward. Now, there's always exceptions to every rule, right? Yet, again, there's an exception to every case. Still, both men and women have emotions and have to deal with them. My poor husband, I always bring him up in my messages. I hope he knows I love him. But I admire him. Okay, I admire my husband as he is even-tempered and very seldom shows any negative emotions. But on the other hand, it is often hard to know if he is happy with something too. Because I have been married to him since 1985. I know him pretty well. I know when he is mad just by just looking at him. I know when he's happy just by watching his body language. I appreciate how he handles things when he is frustrated. Most of the time, the average person wouldn't even know he was frustrated because he just doesn't show it. Now, if you look at me, you would know if I was frustrated over something. Okay, guaranteed. I don't know if that's good or bad, it just is, right? Okay. But you would know. Okay. And then the Lord brought us together. But there's always all these different personalities out there. Scripture tells us to guard our hearts because out of it flow life itself. And so let's look at that. And this is Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life." Do you remember us talking about this when we were talking about revival of our heart? You know, and also I talked about guarding our heart. Okay? And we talked about the guards at the Buckingham Palace. Remember talking about that? Okay? And that's their job, is to guard that palace. Nothing negative or bad can go enter into it, and they do not leave their post. Okay, these are things that we need to do with our heart. Because out of it flows the springs of life. And remember, we looked at that word springs, and it's issues. It's what really comes out of us, you know? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So we have to be careful. We have to guard. Scripture says we're supposed to guard our heart. With all diligence, with militance, right? And above all, that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. If we don't manage our emotions, they can make us unclean. They can make us unclean. We can lash out in anger or jealousy or say or do things that will leave a lasting impression on people. How do I know this? Because I've done it. I can just go vomit all over somebody. Okay? And then you can't take those words back. It's like that tube of toothpaste, and you squeeze it all out, but you can't put the stuff back in once you squeeze it out. So the words that we say, pushed with emotion, we have to be careful. If this becomes our lifestyle, we are headed for destruction. It will make our lives unclean and take the purity of God's righteousness away. We are also living our lives blindly and leading people astray. Now, this is something that God showed me. I'm being very transparent. But I would allow my emotions to lead me thinking it was right. Well, this is how I feel. So therefore, it must be right. Okay? And so then I would tell people how I would feel. And probably so much so that because I had this welling up pressure almost, you feel. Well, they just need to know how I feel about this. Okay? And so then I would. Okay, I felt better.
But how did it affect the other person?
So we just need to be careful. The things we do can make us unclean. We've heard the expression, what would Jesus do? But truly, would Jesus do that? Okay, yes, he got angry in the temple because they were selling things. But the bottom line is, they weren't supposed to be selling things, and they made the temple unclean by what they were doing. But I'm just saying, let's be careful with our words. Let's be careful how we vent our emotions. This is a big scripture. I don't know if you'll be able to. Yeah, you won't. It's all right. Matthew 15. 10 through 20. I want to read this to you. This is Jesus. He says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. And then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. What are some things you've been saying this week? Sometimes we can totally curse our future, right? But no, seriously, what are some things you've been saying this week? How have you reacted to some things? Maybe that weren't so, you weren't too happy about. You know, and I'm not trying to point fingers. There's like 10 of them pointing back at me. We have to be careful how we respond. Sometimes you're totally justified in your anger over what happened, right? But that doesn't mean you have to respond outwardly or emotionally with that anger. What do you do with that anger? And at the end of this message, I want to look at a few verses about anger. You know, I could have probably found a lot of verses on all different kinds of emotions, but for some reason, the Lord was just pressing anger on my heart. So if the shoe fits with you guys, then I pray that you wear it, okay? Jesus was talking in this verse about their traditions compared to what was in their heart. The Pharisees were more interested on the outward traditions, and Jesus was more concerned about their hearts. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. I don't want to be unclean. You know, sometimes when you say something and it's out there and you realize it, this is what I quickly do. And then to not do it anymore, but I quickly say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for saying that junk that wasn't pleasing to you, and I'm so sorry. Because the bottom line is, we want to please his heart. We are his representatives everywhere we go. People watch us. If they know you're a Christian, oh, trust me, they're watching you. We don't want to give him a bad name. We don't want to give him a black eye or taint his character. We don't want to taint our character, right? So be careful what comes out of your mouth. The things we say and do can make us unclean. It shows what is really in our heart and emotions. It shows people what they are made of. And handling our emotions and stopping angry words or actions from coming out is a true sign that you are managing them. And that's actually one of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, isn't it? Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Conquer them before they conquer you. Because they can conquer us if we allow it. All right. Number three. There's five altogether. Learn to live your life according to the Word of God and not your feelings. We look at the verses from Psalms 3, 1, and 2. We just looked at that earlier. And we can see how David stood on God's Word and didn't allow his emotions to take over. So now I want us to look at Psalms 3, 3 through 6. And it says, But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. David reminded himself of who God is and what he can do. And I tell you what, in the middle of thinking what you're thinking, or saying the negative thing or the emotion that you're saying, you're reacting in anger or whatever it may be, in the middle of it, you can even have self-control and just stop. You can. All right? Truly, am I going to let my words control me, or am I going to control my words? That could preach, I'm telling you. All right? This is where the Word of God can help us. Getting into the Word and finding appropriate scriptures to help us with any emotional situation is standing on solid ground. So I encourage you. For the sake of time, I didn't go over and find a bunch of scriptures maybe to stand on. But, you know, you've got a Bible. Look in the concordance. Whatever you're struggling with today, that topic, I want you to look in the Word of God, in the concordance. You can even go online and Google it, for Pete's sake. Pete's not here, right, Jenny? That's her son. Okay, you can even do that to find out some scriptures that will help you in whatever area. Truly, do you want to conquer it, or do you want it to conquer you? And my personality is such. I'm like, oh, I don't think so, Scooter. I was like, I am going to get over this by the grace of God. And I'm not going to let this rule my life or my emotions, right? Sometimes this, the biggest battleground. So we got to do this. Our life depends on it. Okay, number four. Learn to trust in the Lord for everything. Oh, that sounds so pretty, doesn't it? It sounds really nice. But God is trustworthy. He's proved himself time and time again, hasn't he? And his promises are true. What the Word has in it, this is truth. You know, the world's wondering, what is truth? And that line has gotten so vague, so many gray areas. But I tell you what, this is truth, the Word of God. And so that's what we follow. And here at Hope Fellowship, we believe it from cover to cover here, okay? And we stand on it. And we've seen it be proved. How do I know the Word of God is true? I've seen it become alive in my life. I've seen it time and again minister to me. I've seen other people. I stood on this, and God did. It was awesome. I've seen lives transformed and changed by the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God is real and alive and active in us if we would just let it. If God says it in his Word, believe it. There are so many scriptures in the book of Psalms alone that expresses how we can trust God. By trusting God, we learn to not be ruled by our emotions. It is a knowing in your heart that God is in control, and he will get you through any situation. And this is just a small little message today on trust. That's just one of the points. But there was a time in my life where, and I wrote the book, The Garbage Man Always Comes on Friday, and one of the chapters is just on trusting God. And there's a trust factor chart. And it talks about, especially in the book of Psalms, but what happens, what's the trust factor and what's the result? So men trust in chariots, but I will trust in the Lord my God. And he will never fail me. Always victorious, right? I mean, so if we just look at these scriptures and see what happens with the trust factor, and then what's the result? Look at your own life. What's the results with trusting God? It's awesome. Truly, God has never let us down. We have let ourselves down. And we can easily put a little cap on it and say, well, God did it. No. We can give up. Right? And sometimes our thinking can lead us astray. But God is trustworthy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I like that. I can't think of anything else in this world that you can stand on that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's our Father who loves us unconditionally. You know, there's that just, it's good stuff. Here's some verses on trust. Psalms 5, 11 and 12 says, and this is the New King James, but all those rejoice who put their trust in you. You let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you, for you will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. So looking at this verse, okay? Okay, the trust factor is that we're going to rejoice. We know that he has done great things. His name is, let those who love your name be joyful in you, for you will bless the righteous for trusting in you. Seriously. You will bless them with favor for trusting in you. You will put a shield around them for trusting in you. If you look at that verse, that's really what's happening. So then, me with my little creative mind, I'll see this shield around me, kind of walking through the mall.
Got this shield around me. Yeah. Shields up.
But seriously, you can walk through even a battle, and you go, I've got my shields up because I'm trusting in God. He's going to bring me through this. He's going to bring me. He's already brought me this far. God's not a God just to let me go right in the middle of something. No, God's a God of completion. He's going to bring it to the end. And so I'm going to hold his hand in the middle of darkness even. I'm going to hold his hand knowing he's going to bring me through. Here's another verse. Psalm 7, 1 and 2 says, O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. So this verse he's saying, I trust you, save me from those that persecute. The things that people are saying, the things that people are doing that have an effect on my life. Lord, I trust you in the middle of this. And I know that you will surround me like the previous verse with a shield. They won't tear me like a lion. They won't rip me to shreds. Because my mighty warrior is standing right next to me. Mm. Sometimes I'll go in the mall and I'm walking around and I just notice people are looking at me, but I keep thinking, they're looking at you, God. They see you. Psalms 9, 9 and 10 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I love that. I've never been forsaken. He will never leave us. He's always with us. We seek him and he never forsakes us. This is a promise. You can look all through the book of Psalms and find verse after verse about trusting in God. If you have trouble trusting God, I encourage you to look and study the Word of God for yourself. And find out what it says about trusting God. And that's what I always say. Research the Word of God yourself. Look it up. Be Bereans. That's what it says in the New Testament. This group of people that would just go and look into and trust and search the Scriptures. All right? That gets it in your spirit. Don't just take my word for it. Although it's a pretty good word. The more we trust God, the more we won't be swayed by negative thoughts in our minds. Thoughts will turn into strong emotions, and strong emotions will make us act. I got to read that again. The more we trust God, the more we won't be swayed by negative thoughts in our minds. Thoughts will turn into strong emotions, and strong emotions will make us act. We learned that in the prodigal son, didn't we? He would say in his mind, I want my inheritance, right? I just want to go out. Pretty much he wanted to go out and live. So he asked for it. That's not normal. And he went out in extravagant living. And then he came to the end of himself and he started speaking to himself. Well, even a hired hand at my father's house eats better than these pigs who are eating the slop. It was pretty much what he was saying. He's thinking it. He says it. Then the actions follow. So he goes back. Think of things in your life. You think it. You probably say it. And your actions follow. What are you thinking? What are you saying? Getting rid of emotional sickness is part of revival because it frees us from the bondage our emotions can shackle on us. Yeah. Right?
Break those shackles.
I could sit on that for a minute, but I won't. It just frees us. Number 5, and this is really important. This is the last one. Learn to apply wisdom to your emotions. And this is what God's been showing me the last 7 to 9 months. He's saying, I want you to be wise in your emotions right now. Far too often, we let our emotions run wild and act upon them when we should apply God's wisdom to every emotional situation. Look at it from a practical perspective. Talk to yourself. Now, you're not being weird, okay? I do this. Maybe I am weird. I don't know. Talk to yourself and ask why you are feeling the way you do. So I begin in the middle of this emotion. I go, okay, Chris, why do you feel this way? So all of a sudden, it's starting to get a little bit of a practicality to it. Instead of me just going,
let my emotions go. Okay.
And I've seen time and again in my life when I let my emotions go, what happens? It's not a good road to go down. I mean, if we're truthful with ourselves. Okay? So I'll say to myself, okay, Chris, why are you feeling this way? Chances are, wisdom will bring a new light on your circumstance and allow you to control how you are feeling. Because you can just really look at yourself and go, okay, I'm feeling this way because I think I feel insecure. I mean, you know, it could just come down to something like that. Or I'm feeling this way because I thought it was going to go this way and it went this way. And I don't like it. Okay, so that means you didn't, what you thought didn't happen. Okay, but we're using wisdom now. We're just looking at the whole thing. Okay, is my emotional reaction going to change it? Probably not. Is my emotional reaction going to cause even more hardship in the situation or hardship to me? It will cause more hardship. Now, I know it's hard, especially when our emotions get going. But if we can just take a second and go, why do I feel this way? Right? Okay. And like I said before, feelings or emotions are not good or bad. They just are. They come and go and are unreliable. I can't rely on my emotions. One minute I can be so joyful and up, and then the next minute I might hear bad news or something might happen and I'm down. Okay? Whereas my husband's, he's just straight. And I like that. I admire that. I really do. Okay? But I know myself and I know my weaknesses. We can feel a certain way one day and then feel totally different the next day. We can totally make a decision about something one day, and then the next day rolls around, and we go, oh, wait, I don't think I should have. Why did I? Yeah. Applying wisdom to our feelings will bring stability and balance in our life. Emotions such as anger, love, disappointment, sadness, happiness, and much more are controllable by applying God's word and looking at yourself and how you feel. So here's a few verses on anger. And this is just what I felt like God wanted me to look at. Proverbs 19:19, out of God's Word translation, says, a person who has a hot temper will pay for it. If you rescue him, you will have to do it over and over Anne, can I say something about our conversation this week or not?
Oh, I don't care.
I won't if you don't want me to.
It's all good. I went through for a reason.
Well, it just made me think of it. Anne called me up and she was having problems with one of her kids. Her son, he's not here. It's an older son. And he was giving her a hard time, and this is his MO, really. He wanted Anne to come and get him and take him somewhere. As Rob, her husband, is pumping his fist. And Anne couldn't because she didn't have insurance on her car, and she felt like God said, you don't drive this car until you have insurance. So she was obeying the laws of the land and didn't do that. All right. And it wasn't this son either, so I'm just letting you know, okay? That would be bad. That would be totally bad. It's not. Okay. So she was obeying it, obeying the Lord and believing that that's what she's supposed to do. Well, then this one son called up. I need you to come and get me, and I need to do my laundry, and I need to do all of this. And she goes, well, I can't. I don't have insurance on my car. I can't do it. And he got mad. He got really mad. He started saying all these bad things, I'm sure swearing at you, all of this terrible stuff, okay? And ultimately, in the past, right? Smack me if you don't want me to say anything, okay, hon? She would cave in to his reactions. Okay, I'll do it. But this time around, she stood her ground. And just like the scripture, a person who has a hot temper will pay for it. If you rescue him, you will have to do it over and over and over and over. So sometimes, yes, but we aid and abet sometimes this bad behavior. Just by caving in, just by not putting healthy boundaries up, right? I'm just saying. So it's kind of interesting that you went through that and then I was putting together this. So, but I appreciate you letting me share. I was so proud of you. You did an awesome job. Yes, you did. Yes, she does. Yes. The Lord spoke to your heart on that one. So this is just a little example, okay? But think of your life. Are you aiding and abetting someone with their anger? Or are you one that lashes out with anger? Proverbs 14:29 says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. I don't want to be called foolish. Sometimes I have to leave a room. Sometimes I have to walk away for a minute. Okay. Don't say anything you're going to regret, Chris. Just calm down. You ever have to do that to yourself?
Run to your quiet place.
Run to your quiet place. James 1:19 says, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. Oh, if I was to look up all the verses on anger, we would be here for several hours, okay? But it's in it. It's in the Bible. It's just anything we need, it's in there. Here's the last one I want to show you. Proverbs 12:16 out of the Message. Actually, I just want to read it, okay? I don't know. You know, when the Lord was showing me how to apply wisdom to my emotions, I started reading the Psalms, and out of the Message is kind of cool because, I mean, the Message is definitely not a translation. It's a paraphrase. But I liked the wording. It was very down to earth, gets in my face, makes me think. Okay, so Proverbs 12, verse 16. Proverbs 12, 16. And you know, and you could see in this, I've underlined things that have just spoke to me. And I'm on the second time now around reading through Proverbs. I'm probably going to do that all year long. I'm just going to read Proverbs over and over and over again. It's a good thing. Oh, I remember this, Marilyn Hickey. Does anybody know who Marilyn Hickey is? She's a woman minister. Okay. She would have Sarah and her other son, I don't know how many children she had, they would have to memorize the Proverbs, okay? So, you know what? Reading it is pretty easy compared to memorizing, although memorizing is good too. Wisdom can rule a kingdom. What about us, right? What about our emotions? So, Proverbs 12:16 says, fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrug off insults. Oh, well. That's what they think, but it doesn't mean it's right. Right?
What translation is that?
Message. The message. I'll read it again. Fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrug off insults. Because we can easily vent and tell them what we think about them when they say things, right? Okay. But really, what does it do? It's not going to change anything, and it just makes us look bad. Trying to help others who always get angry can be enabling them and telling them that their bad behavior can get what they want. If you get angry often, it is a sign you are allowing your emotions to control you, be it male or female. Applying wisdom to how you feel will help curb your anger and make for a happier and peaceful life. Applying anger or wisdom to any kind of emotion. That's what I encourage you to do. To me, this is probably, besides venting it all to God, this is the next one that's just really top on the list. Apply wisdom. And where is the wisdom? It's all in the scriptures, right? And we can say, Lord, how do I handle this situation? Right now, I just want to smack him in the face. You've never said that, I know. So, emotions can prevent us from experiencing all that God wants to give us, all that God wants us to be, reaching our full potential, possessing our promised land. Emotions can prevent that. Do you know that? So I encourage you, allow God to revive your emotions by healing your emotional sickness. And give God back control of the driver's seat of your life and sit in the passenger seat and enjoy the scenery. Get ready for an adventure ride of your life as God brings revival to your emotions. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that this ministered to you.